All right, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah 31, and we'll start there in verse 1. It says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the voice of the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion, and for the hill thereof. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel will have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and thank you for this time that we can get into your word, Lord. And I pray that you will give us what we need in here, Lord, and help us to take these lessons and apply them to our lives so that we may further glorify you and honor you in everything that we do, say, and think. Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, so the title of my sermon this evening is Idols Made for Sin. So, who made these idols? Verse 7 tells us clearly. It says, in the latter part of the verse, it says, "Which your own hands have made unto you for a sin." So, having an idol of any kind is a sin. Let's turn to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, in verse 3, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers and the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." So, having any idol of any kind is a sin. And so what kinds of idols do people have today? Today, idols are more than just tangible things, things that we see and can touch. Most of our idols today aren't made with eyes, ears, and hands and feet like those of the children of Israel and the Baal worship that was going on about them. But today's idols are whatever we have upon the table of our hearts that we put between us and God, that we put before God. So the first idol that I think of is my name. There's a lot of, sometimes we put a lot of emphasis on our name. Like, my name is Michael Larson, so I need, and some people, they like to have a reputation at at church or work or school, and they try to look a certain way for people around them, and they're concerned with people finding out that their family is dysfunctional. Right? Brother Rogers, a couple weeks ago, said and pointed out that fact very clearly, that all families are dysfunctional because, well, we are all born in sin and we have this flesh, and as until then, we will always have these this dysfunction. I've heard about a lady at this airport. She went through the security, and she, for whatever reason, she was flustered, and she got to her gates, and she sat down, and she got out her newspaper, and she was reading the newspaper, and then a man next to her was eating her cookies. She said, "Who is this guy?" And she doesn't know what to do, so she grabs the cookie and stuffs it in her mouth, and this goes on back and forth until finally it comes down to the last cookie, and the man takes the cookie and breaks it in half, and he eats his half and leaves the other half for her and walks away. And she gets so mad, and she finally gets onto the plane, and, you know, who is this guy? And she opens up her purse, and guess what she found? Her bag of cookies. So if we aren't careful, we'll get caught up in who we are and thinking that we deserve whatever or everything, and we need to avoid that. The second idol I think of is my will. God has a will for each of our lives, but a lot of people want to do things their way, and a lot of the time, their way isn't what God wants. But it's interesting that Jesus prayed. Let's go look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, this is the model prayer. Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And then, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read from chapter 26 of Matthew. And this is where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And verse 39, it says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." In verse 42, it says, "He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And the 44th verse, it says, "And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." So how do we find God's will? Well, in the Old Testament times, they would use the Urim Thummim. And to explain that, there's this illustration. Years ago, there was a young skeptic in Scotland. He visited a little town where there was a shoemaker who had a reputation for knowing the Word of God. The young skeptic said, "I should like to ask this man some questions." When he was introduced to him, his first question was, "What was the Urim and Thummim?" The shoemaker replied, Well, to tell the truth, I do not know exactly. But this I know, that it was attached to the breastplate of the high priest, and I know that it means the lights and perfections, and was used to determine the will of God. Just how it is not given to us, for it is not for us today. But I have brought it up today, and I have changed one letter in order to do this. I have changed the little letter R to S. So instead of Urim and Thummim, to me it is Usum and Thummim. That is the way I find God's will." So that means you take your Bible and you use your thumbs to go through the pages of God's Word, and therein you will find God's will for your life. But with Jesus, we see a stark contrast between him and the prodigal son, which in essence he prays to the Father, "Give me." But when the son came to himself, he decided that he would pray to his Father, "Make me." So we need to learn to stop asking God, give me all the time. And we need to ask him, "Lord, make me. Make me." And God wants to make us into to the image of his Son. So there's my name and my will. And then there are my possessions. One of the greatest enemies against the American Christian is the American dream. An evangelist named Daryl Champlin marks that the American dream is the God of America. The American dream models the idea of one having a nice car, good education, a nice house, a good family, and so on and so forth. Now, it's not bad to want nice things, but we can get so caught up in the American dream that we stop to follow God, and then we find ourselves outside of God's will. And whatever material thing you have, you will not be able to take with you, whether you are bound for heaven or hell. And lastly, it's my pleasures. A few of the world's philosophies are, you only have one life. Live life to the fullest. Everybody is doing it. But a couple of things that a person ought to know is that he is not his own. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And in chapter 3 and verse 16 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Everything we must do must be for God's pleasure. We've seen this commonly on Sunday mornings. Revelation 4:11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for whose pleasure?" Thy pleasure, God's pleasure. They are and were created. You may live your life to the fullest, but it needs to be living full for God and going after God's will for your life. Pastor Roach told me a couple weeks ago that the ministry isn't dull. I'm sure Pastor McGovern can say the same. Many of you have helped in the ministries here, and I've found that to be true. And you run into interesting characters sometimes, you know. But and then God sometimes brings on us little surprising blessings on us. So, to conclude, you should ask God to get you to a spot where he can humble you and help you get rid of these idols. All these idols that you put on the shelf of your heart are made only unto sin. All these idols that I mentioned all come from self. Idols will keep you from serving God faithfully. Idols will drive you outside of God's will, which is the most dangerous position that a Christian could ever be in. I pray that you call upon God today and get this issue resolved. Thank you.